Dr. Randy here. We're in the Intentional Living Center today on this end of October, October 31, continuing our discussion about the power of prayer, really asking the question, if prayer changes things, we know that. I want to hear today how prayer has changed you, your life. And you can join in the discussion at 888-888-1717 on our storyline. Research from Pew say that women tend to pray more than men. Come on, guys. And people who make more money pray less than people who make less money. Come on, rich people. I think we probably understand the dynamic of that, don't we? Busyness and maybe other priorities and less, quote, dependence on God until all of a sudden that's all we got. And we have that dependence and that need. All right, we're going to get to our phone calls in a moment. We started the show yesterday with this, what I'm going to share in a moment, as a reminder about how prayer can change your life.
I've definitely had some storms over the last 20 years with struggling with addictions and gambling and drinking. But one thing that's definitely helped me is daily, especially now with this storm going on in the world, is praying and meditating. I set my alarm. I have a busy schedule with work for the first 20 minutes every day. And along with that, not only has it given me the peace and guidance that I need throughout the course of the day, but I'm extremely grateful for where I'm at today, and just it really gives me the peace that I need throughout the day just to handle the chaos that's going on in the world.
All right. Changed his life, and that's really the focus of Intentional Living. We want to know how it can change your life. By the way, if you're struggling in this area of worry in your life, or maybe you're struggling with your kids or something, we are reminded from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 about don't worry about anything, which is tough. He goes on to say, don't worry about anything, but instead, and here's the formula, pray about everything, circle that. Because, you know, sometimes we only pray when we're in trouble. Or we only pray when we feel like it. Does pray about everything mean everything? I think so. You pray about your day, you pray about the things you're going to be doing, and you're praying about the priorities of your life and whatever comes to your mind and your heart throughout the day. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need, he goes on to say. That's what you do. That's what you would do for a relationship with a good daddy, wouldn't you? Hey, daddy, I have a need. And be specific. Don't be general. Don't beat around the bush. Just be really specific. God, this is what I need, and I'm praying about today. But then he puts comma and thank him for all he's done. Don't be a gimme, gimme kind of a pray person. Lord, thank you. Boy, that's a beautiful thing. Then, it's conditional, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, if you want to read it for yourself. Talking about the power of prayer. Let's get to the calls. Our comment line's open, by the way, 888-888-1717. Christine, hi there, how are you?
I am fine. I just pulled up in a prescription line, so I hope that they let me take care of my business with and still be on the phone. I moved here 11 years ago when God told me he wanted me to bring hope to the streets. I moved from Ohio to Tucson, and I've had an 11-year ministry with absolutely no nonprofits, just God giving me instructions and then him opening the door and providing. We now feed about 1,000 people a week in different locations. Wow. And he's also put me in different places to work and volunteer for hospice, for No One Dies Alone, for the veterans, and also in a care situation, which I've been a volunteer for 20 years. So to go back and make money was weird. But the thing that I wanted to comment about, and I've never been motivated to call in before, but God has prompted me lately to be able to pray scriptures. There is a lot of YouTube videos where you can have scriptures praying all night while you sleep. You can just turn them down. Mm-hmm. And it covers our nightly spirit when the witches and the evil is out there spreading all this war. And I have found such breakthrough, and I wanted to share that with people. They don't even have to hear it. It doesn't have to be loud enough. but their spirit will pick it up. It will cover with the blood of Jesus all over the people, all over your family, and breakthrough will come in this terrible time.
Man, it's a terrible time, and you're right. His word does not return void, and filling our hearts and our homes with God's word. You know, one of the reasons, by the way, I'm glad you're listening. Hope you get your prescription okay and great ministry outreach. It's a reminder to me why we do what we do here at our ministry, Intentional Life Media, which is not only what we do through Intentional Living and our books and our publications and everything with Intentional Living, but also our radio network of 40 plus stations around the country. Because we believe 24 hours a day, we're filling homes and hearts with that truth. We're allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to move through the songs that are shared, the testimonies, the verses, the staff, everything that goes on, because we know it makes a difference. It's filling the hearts and homes of people, just like in our own home where we listen and in the car when we're driving, because we know it makes a difference. And we got callers. I had one call recently that said, you know, we leave it on all the time, even at night. We just turn it down, let the music and the scripture and all that happens fill our homes. Powerful. All right. Thank you, Christine. Appreciate it. Let me go to Michigan. Tawana. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. Appreciate your call. How has prayer changed you?
Well, I'm going to say it's been prayer and fasting. I've been a Christian many years. I accepted the Lord at 5 and I'm 71. And I've prayed, you know, but our church that we just started going to, having relocated from Florida, they fast Sunday afternoon to Monday, and then they meet for prayer once a month. But really, no, you know, the Lord laid on my heart, why fast? It's not anything I hardly have ever heard from pulpits. I had an old Schofield that, I'm just going to say my dog kind of destroyed a few years ago. but I had written on one of the pages on the back from the concordance messages, scripture about fasting. And I've carried it with me. And I just thought, I need answers. Why does that change our prayer? Why did God say, not if, but when? So I can't just, I'm not a one verse reader. I have to read before and I have to read afterwards. So he led me to Mordecai, and then it led me to Esther, and then it led me to Nehemiah, and then it led me to Daniel. And what I saw is these were mighty warriors used of God.
Yeah.
I believe that the two walk hand in hand.
Absolutely. You know, in fact, you mentioned Nehemiah, and, you see the story of this guy in the Old Testament. I mean, he's in a position of authority. Of course, he's taken away from his land, so he's a refugee, if you please. And when he gets the news about his homeland, that broke his heart. When he heard that Jerusalem walls were down, the gates had been burned, the people were in disarray. And as you said, Tawana, at that point, we see in verse 4, he said, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days, I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. And then he went on with this beautiful, powerful prayer of asking for forgiveness and preparing his heart and preparing really to go before God and ultimately the king and going back and rebuilding the walls. Powerful thing. But fasting was a part of the preparation, including prayer and fasting, that changed his life. And you're absolutely right. I don't know when the last time I heard a message on that. Recently, now that I think about it. And it's a reminder, really, what is fasting? It's a reminder to us, I think, of the bodily, you know, sacrifice of saying, hey, I'm not going to feed my hunger. I'm going to use that as a reminder, at least the way I look at it, reminding me of spending this time with God. And it's something I think we can all benefit from. Thank you, Tawana. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. Tim, Tom, hang on. We've got more callers. We're talking about the power of prayer and the impact and change lives.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Why do so many of us live in this valley of indecision in our life instead of saying yes or no to the issues of life? Anything from the small things of what I'm going to eat next to the big decisions of who am I going to marry? And I thought of five things. First of all, the fear to be wrong. Many people just fear being wrong. They don't want to be wrong. And so people who are indecisive are often people who just fear being wrong. If I'm wrong, I can't deal with making the wrong choice. You know, that's an excerpt from the lesson this month, and it's available to you at our website, and it's our gift to you, really, because of the financial and prayerful support of people all around the country who make it possible for us to create these resources in our podcasts and radio programs and content and events and so on, and we thank you all for doing that. And it's up on the website at theintentionallife.com. Your support's available today, or needed today, by going to theintentionallife.com or calling 888-888-1717. And when you do, you're part of a team of people who are serious about life, but not so serious about ourselves. We realize that, you know, we're here for a brief time, and we want to use our time and resources in a way to make a difference in the lives of people.
My name is Angie. The good habit that I have that makes a positive difference in our marriage is that I intentionally pray for my husband regularly. Whether I'm upset with him or, you know, everything is going great, I intentionally pray for him more than once every single day. And it has made a huge difference in our marriage. We've been married almost 23 years, and I've been doing this for about the last year, year and a half, and it has made a huge difference in our relationship.
Thank you, Angie. That's how prayer makes a difference. We got some great stories coming up here. Let's go to Tim first in Arizona. Hi, Tim.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you for your call. What prayer made a difference in your life?
Well, of course, I'll try to just sum it all up, but I was in drug addiction for over 20 years. My mama prayed for me for over 20 years. I was at church one night with my wife, and I listened to a preacher preach about a good shepherd, and all I know is the Spirit of the Lord came to me and said, you're going to die. And I don't know what I need to do, but I don't want to die. So the preacher said, I'm going to count to 10. I'm going to close the service. And so he started counting 10, 9, 8. And he got down to about 5. And I thought, man, I don't know what I need to do, but I don't want to die. And I didn't know it, but my mom and dad were going to eat. And they passed a little mission church. And they saw my wife's car sitting in the parking lot. And when the preacher got about 5, 4, my mom and dad walked in the church and saw me get up out of my seat and give my life to God.
Oh, my. Wow.
Because of my drug addiction, I had a son, and he had major ear problems where he couldn't hear. And 4 years later, I had a daughter, and her leg was twisted backwards. I went to the doctor. My head's hurting so bad. And they asked me if I'd done drugs before. They said I'd fried my mind. And so I sat in the chair for 3 years on medication. And one night coming home from church, my son's crying in the back seat in our little minivan. And my wife goes into Walmart to get some sweet oil to relieve the pressure. And my daughter was 4, and my son was 8. And I heard the seatbelt come undone from my daughter. And my daughter, at 4 years old, undone her seatbelt and turned around in our little minivan and said, Jesus, don't let his ears hurt no more, Jesus. And from then to right now today, my son just turned 40 years old. and my son's had perfect hearing since my daughter prayed.
Well, what you're talking about, trust and faith. And I know we got some people listening saying, this is really weird stuff. You know, what is this about? I have to tell you, it's beyond my understanding. But I do know that God moves in mysterious ways, the Bible says. And sometimes he chooses and sometimes not so much when it comes to healing or touching. I know some of you have been praying for a healing in your life and it's never occurred. It hasn't occurred, but time isn't right, or God has other plans for you. Even like the Apostle Paul, who said, I have a thorn in my side and I prayed three times and I still got it. And then you hear a story like Tim's. God is still in the business of making a difference in the lives of people. It's by faith. Thank you, Tim. We're talking about the power of prayer today. Let's go to Tom in Arizona. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm smiling in spite of it all. We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
He is still in the miracle business, like you said, and how we reach him is through our prayer. Right. And he has worked miracles in me. I was dead on the operating table in 2001 of a 9-hour brain surgery for a ruptured brain aneurysm.
Wow.
I was dead for 5 hours of that. I saw the light. I'm one of the privileged ones who have experienced the spiritual realm. God is real. The Bible is a fact. I read it now as a fact. I was a Christian before I died, but it was when I died that my faith stepped up. Mm. And what I've learned is to hold out for his miracles. We get so impatient. We live so fast. We want things instant. God works in time, and his timing is perfect. I'm still struggling with miracles that I'm praying for. He's got his fingerprints all over me on work, and I have to go back and praise him for that path that we've been down together. His fingerprints are just his autograph. He loves to autograph his work. I ask him, autograph your work, Father. Show me this is you on how you answer my prayer. And he does in signs or symbols or some miraculous way just to let him know it was him.
Boy. God's still moving. You know, if we open the lines, you know, I started the show by saying, tell me about what God, how it's changed you. And we're hearing these stories of miracles. And I just imagine if we said, hey, let's hear it more, our lines would be open for hours. And maybe not as dramatic as the ones you just heard, but maybe in ways that are, in your own life, very dramatic. Because God is a God of healing and transformation. We're talking about the power of prayer on this day. Can't think of a better day in the year than this October 31st to focus on the power of prayer and how it changes the lives of those who are his children.
I was just listening, and a guy named Tom called in, and he's a new Christian, and he said so many things that I feel. I've been a Christian since I was a child, but it's been very different in the last little while. And it's so different. I'm so different. And it's so hard. But it's so good. And I'm just really grateful that we've got this radio station making. And I'm trying very hard to live an intentional life. And I just thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
You're welcome. Just remember in those tears that intentional living is not about perfection. It's not about just doing things so God's going to love you more. I'll tell you what it is for those of you who are new to this whole thing. What does intentional living mean? We believe very strongly that the Bible is clear to us in Ephesians 2:8-9, where it says, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a total 100% gift of God, lest anyone should boast. So it ain't about what we do or how intentional we are at all. Totally about God's intentional love for us and his sacrifice by sending his son to die on the cross for us. And our response is simply to say, Lord, I'm done trying to do this on my own. I realize that you are the higher power that I hear about. You are it. And I submit, I give my life to you. And those words, whatever it is, to turn your life to him. But then to the next verse, it's interesting. It goes on to say in verse 10 that you are his masterpiece. My wife's a painter. That's beautiful watercolor paintings. And when I look at those, I'm kind of reminded that we are his masterpiece, you know, in a sense of his creativity. And we've been created, it says, and you've been created for good works. That's where intentional living comes in. What's a good work? Yeah, feeding the poor, yeah, absolutely. Helping those in need, yeah. I think sometimes we think good works are the only things that we do to help people, which is part of it. But, you know, sometimes that comes right to our home. A good work is being the kind of husband or wife we need to be in a marriage, or to be the kind of parent we need to be, or handling our finances or our health or whatever in a way that brings glory to God and benefit to ourselves and our family. That is a good work. It really is. And so intentional living isn't about getting you saved, but it's about, for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, on a beautiful way to live our lives intentionally for Him. And I do want to say thanks to those of you who have been praying for me and for our team and been so faithful in standing in support of the ministry, especially during this such a difficult time in the world where this message is more important than ever.
Part of the way that I'm trying to be intentional with difficult people is to just pray for the strength to give them an extra measure of unconditional love, mercy, and grace. And just try to be quiet and let the Lord deal with it as I just try to love that person as best of my ability. Sometimes I have to walk away and take a few deep breaths and do some more praying.
Yeah, listen, it's really practical stuff. You got a difficult person in your life, or as one author put it, an irregular person in your life. Prayer is important. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety. It sounds like, Madison, you want to weigh in on that. How has prayer made a difference in this area?
Prayer has made a magnificent difference in my life, simply just relieving any stress or anxiety that I have. I feel like we all are imperfect. We all have our own things we deal with. And I have to say that prayer can save us and help us overcome any tribulation. It brings peace. It's just truly saved my life. I'm 27 years old, and I lost my mother to malpractice when I was 20. Mm. And I didn't really have my family there for me, but I had Jesus, and I'm now my own boss. And I really just am trying to put Jesus before everything and pray about everything, the good, the bad. And it's really made my life flourish more than I ever believed was possible.
That's great. Thank you. Young lady and getting started in life, and man, have a prayer from the beginning. What a difference that makes. John, it looks to me like you just want to be honest with us about prayer and some of the struggles in your life when it comes to that.
I've been a Christian since I was 11. I'm 54. My kids are Christians. My wife's Christian. We've got all that taken care of, but I find myself worrying about my children constantly. I lift it up to the Lord every night, and then I start worrying about it, you know, which there's a problem there. I know better than that. I know the scriptures on this type of thing, and it's just hard to shake, you know.
Hey, listen, John, I hear your heart, man, and you just being really honest. We hear the stories coming in of people who are really, you know, they're winning at this thing, and they feel like, hey, you know, they're seeing God move, and you pray and you still worry afterwards. You know, it says, don't worry about tomorrow in Matthew 6. It goes on to say, don't worry about your life. But I think in Philippians 4, 6 through 8, I think it is, we talked about those verses a little bit ago, where we're given that little formula that says, you know, don't worry about anything, but in prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. I think those three together can make a huge difference when it comes to if you find yourself worrying but not being able to, you know, really feel the peace afterward. So I hope people will be praying for you, John, because, you know, you've just been an honest soul telling us how difficult it can be. All right, Susan, I'm going to turn to you. And Arizona, sounds like maybe you've been through a crisis and you've learned some things. Who stepped in and really made a difference in your life with all this?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my journey is that I went through just last weekend. I was in the hospital. I had to be taken by ambulance to a local hospital here in Phoenix, Arizona, with some real severe cardiac issues.
Mm.
And, well, to be honest with you, I really had thought I was going to die when I was in the emergency department because my heart was not converting back to the normal rhythm.
Yeah.
And through medications. And so during that time period, really, it was such an oppressive, awful feeling. And I had called my sons in Oklahoma, and I called my family and my sisters and others and said, oh, gosh, will you guys please pray for me, this situation? I said, I told the Lord I'm ready to go on if he wants to take me. But if he has a purpose and a plan still for my life, then please preserve that, you know, preserve my life because I want to fulfill that. Well, lo and behold, I'm still here, and it did convert back, and I'm still seeing a cardiologist, of course, and I'm feeling so much better. But I just really want to emphasize, you know, you talk and you teach us about being intentional. And I think when we are really intentional and specific with our prayers to God, and we let him know, and other people are, you got this group of people who are praying and interceding for you, all in agreement for the same thing, and you're very intentional and focused in your prayers, that I really feel it touches the heart of God.
Hmm.
And I have no doubt that perhaps somebody was fasting for me. My ex-husband called me and called several times to see how I was doing, and I've got this feeling in my heart he probably went on a little fast for me because I was having a hard time when I came out of the hospital. Anyhow, I just feel like I'm on the up and up even just a week later, and things are much better, and I just want to emphasize once again, you know, just being there for people as everyone has been saying in these phone calls is so phenomenal.
That's it, man. All right. Thank you for everybody's calls. Stephen, we're out of time here. Stephen, producer of all of this here at Intentional Living. I know prayer is a big part of your life.
Indeed. Yeah. There's this great verse in Ephesians I ran across years ago. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or imagine. And the first thing I thought of, well, Lord, I can imagine a lot. But I thought that dealt with his character. He's able to do exceedingly beyond what we ask or imagine. But I realized it says what we ask. And so it has to do with answered prayer. So if I ask one thing of God, you know, to heal my wife, to heal Shannon, whatever, he's going to give way more than that one answer because he can do so. He can answer exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask. And so God, help us to have a big view of what your answer is.
That's good. Thank you, Stephen. That's very true. He's a good daddy. Don't think small. All right, we're out of time for today. What do you all think? What have you learned? What'd you hear? Does it trouble your spirit? Does it raise questions about prayer and your life and faith? Love to hear your feedback at 888-888-1717 on our storyline. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back with more Intentional Living next week, of course, as we continue to talk about what does it mean to experience our life the way God intended, with more peace, less worry, and less regret. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, along with Jennifer and Stephen, and it remains a ministry of Intentional Life Media.